The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is October 30th, if you can believe it, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials. That's www.docspreferred.com. Dr. Wong's on here today, believe it or not, but he's on every month with me, and he has been gracious and what can I say? Now the word's going to escape me, right? Not only gracious, let's just say very generous. He's been helping me out big time with his great supplements, helping me heal up for Iceland, and I thank him for that. So don't forget to go out to docspreferred.com and, you know, talk. Like I said, anybody that's called here about him has gotten through to him. It's like everybody here, anybody that's on this show is accessible, so check that out. And tell them Motivation Muscle sent you. Secondly, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. They sent me a diamond bar, and that would be Bert and Richard. I thank them for that. Another sponsor for Iceland. Go out there and look at their stuff. It's the best stuff. I mean, the best. We just had one of the guys that works for them, the great right now, one of the top 1-2 all the time in Highland Games. We just had Dan McKim on here, and I got Matt Vincent on next week. So listen to those shows. They're big ones coming up. So go out to Sorenex.com. Hearts Collision, this is for New York State residents only. HeartsCollision.com, 518-477-7937. Everybody knows that I am training their son, Little Al. The kid deadlifted 270 off the ground after 15 weeks, and he did use the Sorenex trap bar. That's his favorite bar. The kid, I'm just very proud of him. Wait to see what's going to happen down the road with him. So go out to heartscollision.com. 8xclub.com, that's our good buddy Donnie. Go out to www.8xclub.com. Check out these clubs. He sent me one. They look like Indian clubs, but you can basically put weights through them. So picture like a baseball bat. The bottom unscrews, tilt, comes all the way out. It's got two little plug holes in it, and you stick the desired amount of weight on it. So it goes from 2 to 25 pounds. You can make quite an apparatus there. So go out to 8xclub.com. Also, top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's a free ebook at FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Get that. That thing will change your life. 10 little paragraphs, very simple to read, but it's got a lot of meaning to it. Commit to it and go after it. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. That's FiorelloBarbellCo.com. These are the two biggest projects I've done since, well, to date. Everything's going to be done by Thanksgiving. It's all out there. You can look at it. You can order it if you want. These are two life-changing programs. I've gotten super feedback. All I can tell you is go out and take a look at everything. The first one, Strength Times Power, is where I knocked 43 pounds off Dennis in 6 months. And obviously, the winner's circle is like, it's just a ton of knowledge, that things that I've done, philosophies, routines. You want something that's going to work for you and change your life and stop screwing around with all the other shit that's just going to take your money. You got it here at FiorelloBarbellCo.com. And I am always accessible. You will always hear back from me if you don't get a hold of me. So, also on Fiorello Barbell Co. and MotivationMuscle.com, don't forget about sponsorship. It's $500 a month, but you're getting anywhere from 5 to 15 podcasts a week. Nobody does that. And you're getting mentioned in the beginning and the end. And also, if we're talking about something that relates to your product or you, that will come up too. So go out there, because for every $500 you spend, $30 of it goes to muscular dystrophy, which is what the whole business here is dedicated. My brother Jimmy, who died of that at a young teenager. $30 goes to a flu shot. This time of year, they're very susceptible to the flu. Well, colds, common colds will kill them. That's what killed Jimmy. It went to pneumonia, and they couldn't save him. So Fiorella Barbell Co., motivationmuscle.com. Chris Bigelow does both websites, 800-687-1609. Tell him that we sent you. Well, today we got a good friend of ours, Dr. William Wong, is on with us. And this guy, this guy's done more stuff than I'll ever do, I'll tell you that. And I'm just going to read a few things as I'm reading right off his site because I don't want to misspeak about anything with it, okay? Right here it says he's a classical neuropath, or naturopath, I'm sorry, already screwed up. Exercise physiologist, Texas State, certified athletic trainer, certified sports medicine trainer, World Sports Medicine Hall of Fame member, World Martial Arts Hall of Fame member. What else can I say? I mean, the guy can tell you a ton more, and he's just an all-around good guy, great knowledge. And we're going to talk about two things before I bring him in because I want him to tell a little bit about himself in his own words. We're going to talk about turning injury into victory, and another thing which is very close to his heart and mine, has manhood been lost? Dr. Wong, welcome to the show, and please give everybody a bio on yourself. Brag about yourself, as I say, a little bit.
Howdy. Thank you for having me back on board, Eric.
I love having you, man.
In the West, we say that you can tell a real man because real men brag about their friends and braggarts brag about themselves.
Yep.
But I've done a bunch of stuff in my life, probably more stuff than most folks, from jumping out of airplanes to doing martial arts to some of the absolutely insane things that I did when I was younger that I sort of kind of wish I could do again.
Yeah.
But what I've tried to do is pack in as much information into this encyclopedic brain as I could pack in, so that I always wanted to be someone my kids could brag on. My dad's got a this, and my dad is a that, and my dad knows this, and my dad. And that sort of kind of flowed over into everything that I did, even before I had kids. I wanted to be the kind of guy that a kid could brag about. And no one brags on their dad anymore. I noticed that. We'll probably touch on that during the manhood thing.
Oh, yeah.
No one brags about their dad anymore. But I tried to be that kind of fellow. I tried to be a Renaissance man. I tried to have as much information on as many different subjects as I could possibly pack into my head. There are a few things I haven't gotten to, like wine tasting and tennis and golf, but those are all feminine shit, so I don't have to do that anymore.
It's good to have you back. I gotta tell you, I just feel like I opened up a window and got 20 below weather in my lungs. How's that? That's a compliment too.
Thank you.
I'm not gonna start in with the man thing because now you got me all fired up about that, right? But we're gonna meld some stuff today. All right. But this is very important, too, and I think this has a lot to do with manliness, too, especially, you know, things are a lot different. As we know, in every sport, and we'll keep it to whatever we want to talk about, obviously weightlifting is going to be what I'm going to be into. Injury is prevalent, we know that. Yep. No matter how much you prepare.
You're guaranteed to have them.
Yeah, I just think if you're training hard, you're going very ballistic, you're training for something, either for specificity or, you know, maybe we go on a pilgrimage and do 6 months of rock lifting out in the middle of nowhere, the ability to get hurt is there. Now, how do, you know, I think the first thing let's establish here is we know right away that injury does happen. Anybody that's involved in these real hardcore sports, martial arts, MMA, weightlifting, stone lifting, Highland Games, you know, any of the big stuff, you know, you're throwing, anything like that. And we know football is collision, all that. We hear concussion. We know it's prevalent. All right, now we get an injury, you know, and you can talk about injury and I can too. How do we, number one, we get injured. How do we deal with this thing first? Because that's very important, how our approach and how we, internalize it is going to take place. So what do we do at that point, Doc, when we've been nailed good?
We we take it in steps.
Okay.
The first step is always, oh shit, why me?
Yep.
And we tend to feel sorry for ourselves. You know, personally, that stage in me might last for about a day or two. Feeling sorry for myself, carrying around the cry towel, whatever.
Yep.
And then it usually turns into, well, fuck.
Yep.
I gotta fix this thing, and I gotta make it so it doesn't happen again.
Yep.
So we go from remorse to an anger, and the anger gives us the energy to go into action. We usually can't go right from the remorse to the action stage without hitting that stage in between. Now, depending on what your mother told you and how she patted you on the head when you got hurt,
yep.
You either pull the covers up over yourself and stay in bed and never go out again because you never want to get hurt again.
Yep.
Or, if your dad was more of an influence in your life, you get off your ass and you start fixing what's wrong, first with specific exercises and specific routines and specific stretching and specific this and specific that, specific modalities and therapies to specifically address the injured area, to bring it back to full function, full strength, full range of motion. As a matter of fact, you want to make it 110% of what the non-injured side is in terms of strength, at least 110%. So you're overcompensating for the injured tissue. And that takes a lot of mental toughness, stick-to-itiveness, and I'm going to see this out and I'm going to beat it, mental attitude. Which, if you were playing those sports where there were no winners and no losers and everyone was a winner, you're probably not going to do very well at recovering from injuries.
No.
If your dad said, you know, yeah, you got hurt. I know you're hurt. I know you're feeling bad. But get up and try to do it again. And let's do it a little different this time. Let's try this and see if it turns out better.
Yep.
If you did that part, then you'll likely make it to the end point where you're rehabbed better than you were before. You're not going to do the same mistake again, hopefully, because remember the definition of insanity is repeating the same mistake and expecting a different answer or different consequence.
Yep.
Hopefully, you'll have gotten to the point where the injury, like Nietzsche says, actually makes you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't kill you.
Right. Well, here's the thing that's interesting, though. I want to get into specific stuff, too. Obviously, the mental end is huge. We know what that can do to you. I mean, I remember when I tore my bicep in Iceland. You know, now, this is lifter mentality, but this is from years of cultivating to do this big trek to get there and succeed. The first thing I asked the doctor when we got in the ER was this, will I ever lift again? That was the only thing I was concerned with. I wasn't concerned about surgery. I wasn't concerned about, I got to go home right now. I wasn't concerned about that. I didn't give a shit where I was sitting in the ER. I could care less. I didn't care if he took a scalpel out and tried to cut me across the throat with it. All I wanted to know was, am I ever going to lift weights again? Because when something happens to you of that magnitude, I say for me, it's just the dedication of me. It's just the way I run.
Right.
I was so concerned about that because you know what? Your life, when you do that stuff and you love it, because it is your life. I'm not going to lie to anybody here. This is what I love to do. Lifting weights, lifting stones is just as much ingrained in me as the blood flowing through my veins right now. You can't separate the two, okay? And that was my biggest concern there. Obviously, we had to do things, surgery, you know, then the rehab and all that. But let's talk about, you know, obviously we got to overcome this big mental dilemma because I remember after I was pretty much back and starting, you know, because you hear a million things from a million people that really don't know what the hell they're talking about, but they all like to give their 2 cents to everything. Because
isn't it amazing
makes them
how people like to give their 2 cents, even though
absolutely
they don't know jack shit about what they're talking about?
And you know what it is? It's because they want to feel they're part of it and they're self-important. And it's like, hey, you know what? Here's how I am. I said this the other day to a friend of mine. We were talking about my business and you know, the common comment will be, well, how come you're not making a ton of money when you got all these people listening to you and you got all these products you're building out and this and that? I said, well, have you ever grown anything in the garden? Yes. Well, when you put a seed in the ground, do you have fruit or vegetables within 5 days? No. Well, I said, then equate that to doing something that you're starting from a seedling. And then they kind of like shake their head and they're like, oh, you know, like that. The instant gratification is not going to happen in lifting or growing a business. And anybody that tells you it is and selling you that $9.99, $9.97 product, you better tell them to shove it up their ass because they're fucking you over, okay? But getting back to this with the lifting too, I can remember him saying to me, well, aren't you going to be nervous the first time you lift? Aren't you going to be afraid if you pull a stone, you'll blow your arm out again? Ifs, that, the other thing, if. It's like, no. I will tell you one thing. The first time I did lift, first time I lifted a stone, I did have a little apprehension. And that's normal. That's fear, it's called. And fear will preserve you in a way where it'll save your life. But if you live in fear, it will finish your life. It will thump you right through the ground. So there's two different types of fear I want to establish with everybody in the audience right now. But let me tell you something. After you grab that first, that barbell, whatever you're doing, and you complete your first rep, it's all gone, man. Same thing with a stone. It's all gone. You've created the success. Now you're putting that success through your mind, and that's what you're focusing on. You're no longer worrying about, am I going to be okay? Yes, you are going to be okay, and it's up to you. But when we get injured, let's talk about some of the modalities for healing. And I don't know how much people know out there. I'm sure plenty have done it. But, I had something new done to me yesterday, but let's go on with that, Doc. What are some of the things besides, and let's talk about your supplements, too, because they are second to none, all right? And let's talk about supplementation, and let's talk about some of the modalities or anything you have to offer with healing and getting back and standing on that podium, whether you're holding a trophy or you're in your backyard, you know, basically on your knees in tears that you made it. You know what I mean? So let's go with that.
You know, initially, and there, it boggles my mind that there's still people arguing this. There was an argument back when I was an undergrad as to whether to use heat or ice. Mm-hmm. The ice people were winning, and they had great physiological clinical experience to prove that they were right. But anyone who has ever put heat on a primary phase injury, on a fresh injury, feels really good initially for about the first 5 minutes. And then when you take the heat off, it'll begin to throb and burn. And you'll see it start swelling up even more. Mm-hmm. And the swelling gets worse. And you're in more pain than you were before because now you've got distended tissue frickin' ballooning out. So what you've done is you brought a lot of blood to an area at a time when you need to be shunting the blood supply because the blood's going to dump pro-inflammatory cytokines and calcium into soft tissue, which will create inflammation and eventually turn into something called myositis insipidans, which is a bone chip inside muscle tissue, which will inhibit range of motion, inhibit function, calcify your tendons and do all sorts of nasty ass things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go look up my sports medicine book on Amazon, the best natural sports medicine book ever. God, I hate that title. The publisher gave it that title. I did not dream up that title. I would never in a million years have dreamed up the title. But I have been told by rookie athletic trainers that it was the book that they loved when they were studying athletic training and sports medicine, and it's actually the book I wish I would have had when I was first studying athletic training and sports medicine. So if you look at some of the comments, one guy says, oh, well, in Chinese medicine they say that, you know, ice is for dead people and ice is for dead limbs, and you never put ice on a primary phase injury. The fuck are you coming from? What frickin' clinical experience do you have, or are you just relating frickin' philosophy? Don't philosophize to me, you asshole. Give me your clinical experience. Tell me what you know. If you know something different than I do about putting heat on a primary phrase injury, then open your frickin' mouth and tell me what the clinical experience has been and show me proof. Because I've got 30, 40 years worth of clinical experience proving that you put a primary phase injury on ice, maybe for the first 3 days, maybe for the first damn week, and then you decide whether you're going to use ice therapy to vasodilate or heat to vasodilate. See, initially, ice is a vasoconstrictor. It shuts off blood vessels. But I want you to think about something. Just about everybody up north has had this experience. You're in a snowball fight.
Yep.
You're having a really great long snowball fight. Hours worth of snowball fights. What do your hands do when the snowball fight's over? They're hot.
Yeah.
They're prickly. Yeah. They're itchy. You've got so much blood in there. So initially, ice closes off circulation or shuts it off somewhat, which reduces the amount of lymphatic fluid you get, swelling the joint up. It reduces the amount of pro-inflammatory cytokines that get washed into the tissue, causing inflammation, and it reduces the amount of calcium flowing to the area, so you're not as likely to cause myositis and specific cancer. Then, when it comes time to bring blood into the area, to speed the healing, so initially, you want to reduce the effects of trauma. Then you want to bring blood into the area to speed the healing, to bring nutrients, to carry the healing forward, and to speed it up. And then you could use long-term ice. So initially you use ice for 15, 20 minutes. When you want to use ice as a vasodilator, use it for 20 minutes and longer. So you can either do that or heat. Now the advantage to using ice, again, as a vasodilator, is that while a heating pad vasodilates from the outside in, ice vasodilates from the inside out. So you're more than likely to get the injured part, since most injuries are pretty deep. You're more than likely to get the injured tissue using things like ice cube massage than you are by applying a heating pad.
Can I just ask you something quick, too? I don't want to lose this thought.
Go right ahead.
When you're out, like I'm training tonight, okay? Is it good to use ice between sets if you want? I mean, I don't really want to constrict blood flow, but if you've had something where you've had it worked on, it's a little sore, or do you do like what I've been doing? I've been mixing liquid DMSO with some type of – I usually use most of the stuff that they would use on horses as far as liniment. I'll thin it down, put it in there, and put it in a spray bottle, and I like to spray it on the area during sets. As I can remember years ago, it was very interesting. This is what kind of brought me this. I read an old article by Anthony DiTillo. Anybody that doesn't know Anthony DiTillo, go look him up. Old Iron Man writer. He's all over the place. You can find the articles. He wrote an article about calf training, how he put like an inch on his calves. And one of the main things he used to do to get the blood flow and get him super pumped, he'd keep rubbing Bengay on it. And we obviously know that's going to bring it in. But what is either or better? Or what would you say, like tonight, I'm going out, I'm going to be squatting. So depending if I wear shorts or not, obviously I'll be spraying it on my thighs and that and the knees and all that, or ice or both. What would you do?
Wait for the ice till after the workout.
Okay, gotcha.
You don't want to ice down a joint or an area during a workout because you will reduce its lubrication and its range of motion.
Okay. Also, too, and then we'll go right back, are kids allowed to have snowball fights anymore?
I don't know. They're politically incorrect. not as politically incorrect as calling an Arab woman a baghead.
Yeah, no shit. Everything's incorrect. Yeah. Well, okay, so we ice. What else after that? I mean, what do we want to do? Are we going to get on a supplementation phase? What's going to be our next step after now we're using ice for recovery?
Depending on what is injured. If bone is injured, you know you have to put in calcium. You know you have to put in magnesium. You've got to put in boron. So 600 to 900 milligrams of calcium a day, that's 3 glasses of milk. It's 300 milligrams of calcium per glass, roughly. The magnesium you need to get in from a supplement, and you need about 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams of that a day. Now, most of the folks who've been educated in classical naturopathy, I can't even say it now, or classical nutrition will tell you, oh, but Dr. Wong, we need more calcium than we need magnesium, because the ratio of calcium to magnesium is this. Well, that's the ratio in bone, yes, but the ratio in soft tissue is exactly the opposite, with 3 times more magnesium than calcium.
Wow.
So again, it depends on what we're working on, but we rarely have a bone injury that doesn't involve soft tissue.
Mm-hmm.
Also, since magnesium is the mineral that keeps you from going into spasm, and we have spasm and contracture with just about every injury, be nice to yourself and give yourself at least 2 grams of magnesium a day. Yes, it might give you the runs. Big deal.
Yeah.
Up with it. Clean out your bowels. You probably need to have them cleaned out anyway. And so then you need the magnesium, you need the calcium, then 2 milligrams of boron a day.
Yep.
Everyone forgets the boron. Boron also helps you make testosterone, by the way, folks. So,
then, we like that.
Amen. Do anything you can do to increase your testosterone. Take any of the supplements, my supplements, anybody else's supplements, Mike Mahler supplements, supplements to increase your testosterone. Or if you happen to have a doc handy who can write you a prescription, then get your testosterone from them. As I was relating to you before the show, the Vietnam medical experience was that every kid who got shot up, injured, hurt, shrapnel, or whatever else, went into the hospital, had the MASH guys work on them, came out. They were given either Winstrol or Dianabol. So they were given either Stanozol or, what's the other name for Dianabol? I don't even remember anymore.
I can't think of the name of it either.
They were given therapeutic doses, which is one tablet 4 times a day.
Yep.
And those kids were recovering 6 times faster than anybody else on the planet.
Yeah, but we know now nobody wants you to be a man about anything, you know? You know what I want to tell you?
Not service anymore. Especially there.
Well, you know what I was talking? You know, I was reading a couple things recently, and I'm sure you know this. They were doing some studies, and they were giving men that had high estrogen levels holy basil. And they were saying this shit was knocking their sweetie womaniness down to shit. I mean, it was taking huge percentages off them. Have you ever had any experience with holy basil?
No, I haven't. I love growing this stuff, and I love the way it smells.
Yeah. They said that this stuff is the hammer, man. 450 mg to, I think it was like 800 or 900. They were saying that the results they've seen with knocking the estrogens down in men is phenomenal, man.
Hey,
so
I'm going to start adding that to one of my supplements. Good.
See, I came up with an idea for
you.
God, now what supplements do you have boron in, or do you carry a straight boron?
I don't have a boron.
Okay.
We have stayed away from making bone supplements because we usually stay away from making supplements that are common everywhere else.
Okay.
The exceptions have been our zinc and our magnesium. We have the strongest zinc in the nutraceutical world. Ain't nobody's zinc any stronger than ours. At 100 milligrams of elemental zinc, not just 100 milligrams of zinc citrate. It takes 300 milligrams of zinc citrate to make 100 milligrams of elemental zinc.
And for anybody that doesn't know, look up zinc, what it'll do for your testosterone.
Hurrah!
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And the size of your Wally Wally, guys. If you can hit it heavy before you're 21, maybe 25 at the outside, you can add more size.
That's it, man, and that's some good stuff. And then I know we're probably going to go into this, but unless you've got something before your systemic enzymes, which are no one can touch them, is that something, obviously, and I'm sure because we know what we've been doing with my shoulder, that's something we really need to hit upon, correct?
Absolutely, because we need to lower the amount of inflammation. We need to keep fibrosis from building scar tissue in the area, which would restrict function and range of motion. And we need to speed the healing, and the enzymes do all three.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, tell everybody out there, I mean, I know if you take Wobenzyme, I've been a guy very familiar with that over the years. I've taken other ones that you've suggested. I'm not going to name them because you're not affiliated with them anymore. You know, I've taken as many as 50 or more Wobenzyme a day. Now, tell everybody out there with your systemic enzymes what the grit. Now, obviously, we got injuries, so we might have to take a few more. But tell everybody out in M&M land how much money that they're going to save just by using your enzymes.
Well, when I was using the Wobi, I was taking between 60 to 80 a day.
Wow.
When I was using the next enzyme that I liked and endorsed, I was taking 30 to 40 of those a day. So when I developed the Zymescence, I had the help of the fellow who used to be the chief pharmacologist to Wobenzyme back in 1959. And we came up with a way of increasing the potency of the product pill for pill. And we started using higher potency enzymes. When you take a look at a pancreatin, for example, if it's 4x or if it's 2x or if it's even 7-8x,
yep.
Full strength pancreatin is 10 to 14x. When you take a look at something like a maca extract, if it's 2x or 4x, full strength maca extract is 18 to 20x.
Wow.
So, when you're dealing with the stronger enzymes and the stronger extracts, you can put a lot more into a smaller space. For example, our papain. Usually, you take a look at the fibrinolytic activity in papain, and it's a three, maybe a four-digit number. The pancreas, the fibrinolytic activity in the papain we use is a six-digit number that starts with a seven.
Wow.
So it is considerably stronger than anything else out there. Everyone else's papain and bromelain is just window dressing. Ours actually does stuff. But
yep.
And sorry for being so long-winded. Let me now answer the question. The usual dose of Zymescence is 3 to 6 a day.
Mm-hmm. Now with
it really banged up.
Right. So 6 would be the maximum you'd take a day if you're really hammered.
Yeah. If you just got a brand new injury.
Yeah.
You could take 9.
Okay.
And do that for a week or two, and then back it off to 6, and then do that for a week or two, and then back it off to 3.
Okay. Okay. What I mean, is there anything else that we want to be taking while we're doing that? Are we pretty good? I mean, I know we talked about trying to keep your testosterone real high with an injury, too.
Yes.
And obviously, you've got some products there. I mean, do we want to... I'm going to let you take it from here because this is your specialty. But where do we want to go? Okay, we've got the best enzymes in the world. Where do we want to go next?
The Andean Essence Max,
yep,
at 3 capsules twice a day, and the Enkindle at 2 capsules twice a day will both work together to increase your own making of your own testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
The addition of the zinc and the magnesium will ensure that you have the cofactor that your body needs to actually make testosterone, because you can't make testosterone without zinc and magnesium. Mm-hmm. So I've met folks who are throwing in all these herbs to make testosterone. They're not taking the zinc and the magnesium. You might as well just be pooping them out because they ain't doing anything.
Okay.
Without the zinc and without the mag, all the tea-making stuff does not work.
That's interesting. That's real interesting. Wow. You need that for sure. Man, I know the zinc, but I never thought of the magnesium. That's very interesting.
Okay. You remember a product back about 15 years ago called Zima, ZMA?
Yeah, I remember.
It was a really stiff dose of zinc and magnesium that you took just before bed.
Okay.
And it was supposed to be there because we make most testosterone between 2 and 4 in the morning. We make 70% of our testosterone between 2 and 4 in the morning. We make 30% of our testosterone between 2 and 4 in the afternoon.
Yep. That's interesting. I mean, you don't even think of these things. Okay, so now we got our testosterone rolling. Is there anything else we want to hit?
Oh, we can throw in the vitamin A and the vitamin E for soft tissue. We can make sure that we're eating at least 1 gram of high-quality protein. And for you vegans out there, I do not mean hemp. I do not mean pea. I do not mean green pods or some crap like that. Meat, egg, and milk is high-quality protein. Nothing else is a high-quality protein. No matter how much advertising the soy industry does, no matter how much the agriculture department tells you that their pyramid is with all the vegetables and all the grains and stuff are high-quality proteins, no matter how much all the tree huggers want to tell you that rice and beans are a high-quality protein, I'm sorry. Ain't nobody built a good body on rice and beans.
Not that I know,
or
but
green
I told
pea protein.
Well, I'll tell you this. I might have told you. I don't remember who I told on one of these shows. This guy was a good athlete. He was a good wrestler, and he's probably in his mid-60s now. And I got in a pretty heated argument with him one day where he's telling me, you know, he's not a red meat eater anymore, and you don't need it, and you don't need to be aggressive, and, you know, as you get older, you should, you know, you're tailing down. I was like, I said to him, I was like, hey, Dave, are you full of shit or what? And he's like, he got really pit. Well, go ahead.
He got to the age where he was wimping out.
Well, that's what it was, and he got really pissed at me, man, and we got in an argument, and I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, I'm going to go through life on bended knee. He goes, well, you know, you're not producing kids. And all this. I said, are you kidding me? I said, did you ever read about the guys that when their testosterone goes down to nothing, one of the first things you'll see, they'll have a massive heart attack, man. I said, don't you know your organs? Oh, no, you don't need any of that. You don't need to be training the way you're doing and all that. I was like, you know something, dude, that I'm one dumbass fuck because I'm going to go to my grave then like that. The day I'm going to sit and eat rice and beans and drink pea protein, you might as well put one right through the back of my head because I'm not going to ever do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to friggin' do it. You know what I mean? It goes against every principle I believe in. And I'm so sick. We heard this week, red meat. What does red meat and cold cuts do to you now? Cancer. You're dead.
Cancer. Hey, folks, you know what really causes cancer? Fucking life causes cancer.
No
shit.
If
you don't want to get cancer, kill yourself now.
Yeah. Yeah. Or how about this? How about living life instead of pissing and worrying about every single thing that's going to kill you? This is the format. This is the formula of all these assholes out there trying to tell you how to live life when they don't have a clue. Look at the people giving you advice. They look like if you gave them a pop to the side of the head, they'd split in pieces, man. I mean, and they probably would. It's like, you stay out of my life. I don't want you in my life, you know what I mean? And we know all the shit with the meat industry is another thing, just like, you know, we don't want you playing ball with the other kids if you're going to be cruel to them. Everybody's got to get a trophy. You know, we're all one big family. Let's live together while the other gang's beating the shit out of you in the corner of the street, you know.
The Europeans are finding out now about Kumbaya.
Oh, they are, and you know what? And in case people know, and we're not going to get political, but we tell you how it is here, they're booting a certain group of people out of Europe that they don't want anymore, that they've done nothing but kiss their ass the whole time, and it's killed everything that they were and are, and who knows if they'll be. Look, if you start looking at what's going on in a lot of countries, a lot of them are backtracking on 25, 35, 40 years of progressive life, as they like to call it. I see it happening in my own town, man. The shit's just hitting the fan everywhere. It's like hitting an iceberg and trying to plug the holes with your fingers and hoping the water doesn't come in and you won't sink. Well, guess what? You might be able to hold it off for a little while, but you know something? You're all going to be swimming with the fishes, as they say in The Godfather. Okay, do we got enough here for the injuries? Is there anything else you want to add? And then we're going to hop into manliness once again. You know, where's my manhood? Has my manhood been lost? Is there anything else, Doc? Obviously, we got to get back training and all that. But is there anything else you want to add to it?
Just the most important part of rehab is your commitment, your mental commitment.
Yep.
To come back stronger, better, faster, and to not let the injury stop you from achieving whatever athletic goal you have. Don't pull the covers up over your head. And
exactly.
You know, here, I've got three herniated discs. Two of them, I think, from skydiving. I've got a wrecked knee from skydiving. Got bad shoulders from almost 50 years of martial arts. Can't go hitting people without hurting your shoulder.
Exactly.
But, you know, I've got two parachutes sitting at home, and I'm just waiting to strap them on again to go out of an airplane.
Yeah.
Because,
and you know, go ahead.
It's just so beautiful up there.
You know, and the thing is, too, see, it's like you still have the drive, all right? And we just talked about Dave lost the drive, man, and decided, well, you don't need to have the drive anymore either. I think they're inherently in a lot of us. It's never going to go away. You know, I watched my sister's American Bulldog close to the end. And you know something? You know, his hindquarters were going, and that's why they had to put him down. But here's what I learned from an animal that I totally loved that was unconditional, your best pal. I mean, if I met a person like that, I'm talking as in a female,
yeah.
I wouldn't be afraid to walk down the aisle tomorrow with her. I mean that totally, man. And I know they're out there. They're all over the place. But what I'm saying is I'll equate it to that. You know, just there all the time, you know, when I take care of him. And we'd always go together in the car and hang out. It was like, you know, I'd go out. He'd be all pissed off, you know. I'd come home, and there he'd be right at the door waiting for me. He'd know the car when I pulled in. And one thing I learned from him is this. Even when he was near the end, he still had that mental tenacity to still act the same way he did, chase the same things. He couldn't do it like he did. He would almost have to drag him up the stairs to get up, and he was a big boy. And I wish everybody would subscribe to that. And I think guys like you and I and a lot of the listeners and a lot of people out there that don't even know who we are yet and will are of the same ilk, the same fabric. And it's like it doesn't matter what happens. In the back of our head, we know someday we're going to get to do that one more time.
Right.
And if that's all it is, that's okay with me because, you know what, if I make it that one more time, I made it, man. I didn't let anything eat my brain. I kept coming back, and that's important, you know. And you know, these are the things to me that we're not going to see taught anymore unless you've got some guy on your street that was a real badass at one time and still is and a good person. And it's like they see kids and it's like, I know you gotta be so careful now what you say. And you know, if you talk to a kid, that's even more dangerous now because you know the whole world now is out to stalk kids.
Yeah.
Which is not true. Is all these perceptions, you know? But I'll tell you right now, they need to hear this stuff. They need to hear that. You know what? You have greatness in you, and you have the ability to overcome. And that's kind of like we'll segue right into this, obviously, because one thing I just want to say about injury in my own thing here was this. You got to get over the mental end. You got to get rehab, and you got to get back in the gym no matter where it is. If you need to take your time, and you need to work at a slower pace just to get going, do it. But the thing is, get back into it. Make a goal. Figure out where you want to go. You know, I'm going back again to avenge that stone next year. I will never let that go until it's done because I can't. I can't leave this world without beating that instead of it beating me. I don't take it personally anymore, but I did for quite a while. Don't let that happen to you because that will eat away on you. But here's the thing. Go back after it, man, and walk around wherever you are with your hands up in the air in victory, man. You know, proclaim that you did it. That's what it's all about. If you can do that, you can always turn injury into victory. So, talking about victory here, you know, that was one of the subjects I really wanted to hit upon because I thought that all went with the whole injury victory thing because this is about manhood, too. Manhood's been lost. We know that in a lot of ways. We know with the feminine movement and the feminist and what they've done to the boys in school and the Ritalin, and you can't be a little boy and be loud and brash and you know, we don't
can't
you know
play tag, you can't play buck, you can't
chase
things around.
No more dodgeball,
right.
All that bullshit. It's the same way. Look, I'm not saying there's not a ton of concussions in sports, and we seem to be seeing it more and more, and we're seeing a lot of deaths now. But I'm also of the idea, I guess it's conspiratorial, but I just see too many things happening in men's sports. And, you know, what are they going to do? I read a thing the other day. It was like another concussion. Don't you think it's time we create flag ball back again? I'm like... Okay. All right, so you do that, but do you understand the money that's involved in these sports? The NFL is not going to give up football unless probably someone takes every player out literally, you know, and that's the end of them because every movement is trying, and we know there's a lot of feminists and movements of that nature that are behind trying to rid any type of contact sport. They don't want men to be men. They don't want aggression. They want you docile. They want basically to roll over your ass, okay? And you know, I look at my grandmother had breast cancer. I've had people in my family. I'm glad that the players and the league wants to get involved, but you know something? I got a problem with players wearing pink, all right? And I'll tell you why, because there's too much going on in men's sports. You know, I mean, now we're seeing in the NFL, and they'll say, well, that sounds chauvinist, but, and same with golf and all that other shit, where now we've got coach women coaches on the sidelines in the NFL. Well, you know, what is it with it? Why can't men, us men, just be men and have men all in our league or on the sideline or in our sport? Why is it, and I know it's all the PC shit, I got it, but you know something? The first time something happens in that locker room, and we know there's been things in the past all in sports, you know, that's going to be another big blow to the league, and they're going to do something major then about it. And what I think they're doing with everything, I just think they're handcuffing sports to the point where I don't know where it's going to go. I don't watch, I'll be first to tell you, I don't watch a lot of sports. I don't enjoy them. It's a sideshow, a lot of the shit. But manhood, what do you think, what do you see going to happen unless we have a big revolution in this country? Well, where are men going, Doc? Where are they?
We're actually being forced into it. Let me tell you about a video that I just saw last week.
All right.
Little German boy, actually not a little German boy, he was about 10 years old. Kid was maybe, I don't know, just under 5 feet tall.
Yep.
Pretty stocky kid. Years ago, we would have called him Husky. But even that, not PC.
Yeah.
Little 7-year-old Arab boy just came in. He's a refugee. He's a refugee. Pardon my French. And he's picking a fight with the little German boy. And the little German boy is shying away. He's trying. I mean, he's doing exactly what he was told to do in school. Zero tolerance for violence. It doesn't matter whether you're attacked. You're not supposed to defend yourself because defending yourself is just furthering violence. You know, in England, you can get arrested for self-defense because you're furthering violence and damaging the fucking Queen's property.
Okay. Who the hell would? Who in their right mind? You have to be insane to think of something like that.
But these people are insane.
Absolutely.
This is where this whole thing is leading to. So this little Arab boy just eggs him on, and finally jumps on the little German boy and beats the living shit out of him. The German boy had at least 50 pounds on him and at least a foot and a half in height. But the little Arab boy just whoops the shit out of the little German boy.
Yep.
And that is the beginning of you're going to start seeing in Europe a white Teutonic movement. Not that I'm not advocating racism, folks. Hey, I'm part of the only two continents I don't have any blood from are Australia and India. I've got African blood. I've got Chinese blood. I've got European blood. I've even got American Indian blood floating around in me. I am the biggest racial mutt in the world. But you're going to start seeing in Europe a movement that will counter all the PC stuff, because all of a sudden the Arabs are marching through, where did they march through yesterday? Heidelberg, I think.
Yep.
Demanding that Germany switch to Sharia law and demanding that Germany acknowledge Allah and become Muslim, and that all the women become Muslim and start wearing headbags and shit. And all of a sudden, you get right-wing politicians elected in Austria, in Switzerland. They're being elected in Germany. They're being elected in Holland. The entirety of Western and Central Europe is turning to the right.
Yep.
You get all these people, all of a sudden Europeans are talking about the American Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Because you got all these millions of people coming over the border, robbing, stealing, especially raping white girls en masse.
Yep.
It's not just one guy raping, it's 10 guys raping a white girl.
Yep.
And they want guns. So what is now thought to be a bad thing will eventually make it so that the Europeans find their balls again. They've been deballed. Since the end of the war, they were especially deballed with political correctness and feminism, but now they're finding out why it's good to be white. They're finding out that not all people are the same, and you can't hold hands and sing frickin' Kumbaya.
Right.
And you're finding out that not all people have the same values. You know, this gang rape thing, and especially with really religious Muslims, little boys are a really big thing. Because you can screw a little boy, and it isn't homosexuality. You can commit a homosexual act, but as long as you don't fall in love with the little boy, it isn't homosexuality. So these guys are fucking each other all the damn time.
Yep.
But it isn't homosexuality, because they're not falling in love with each other.
Yep. No, it's a sick world. And I mean, you just, you know, I've gotten little nephews and all that. I mean, they're not brought up that way, but I mean, they are in the government schools, so you know what they're hearing.
Yep.
And it's frightening, because it's like, if you are to the point, no matter where, what color, what religion you are, and you're afraid to stick up for yourself, how are you going to, as a grown man, what if you do get married? Are you not going to be a protector for your wife or your own children? You're going to let somebody do whatever they want to them?
Exactly.
Never. Let me tell you something. If that ever happens, and I hope it never happens on my watch, that will mean they will take me out, or I'll be put away, because there's nobody that will ever put their hands on anybody I ever care about.
You know,
and that includes
all the
me.
Liberals are going to die.
Yeah.
Because they are so politically correct, they will not lower themselves to commit violence, even to defend their families.
Mm.
So this is a good thing. We get rid of all the stupid PC folks.
Yep.
And the people who we get to keep are the folks with some, at least a little bit of semblance of testicular fortitude.
Well, and you know what it is too? What is it? You know, here's my big thing. Whatever happened just to treating people the way they treat you? And why is it you have to use the long arm of the government to establish everything you want? It's total out of control. And I'll tell you something that I've talked about before with people off air, and I'll air it out right now. As everybody knows, I live in New York State. I'm going to leave New York State once things are the way I want to, business-wise. As long as I got Wi-Fi, I can see the world. Now, Dr. Wong has talked to me on several occasions about coming down in Texas in his way. I've also talked about, you know, I want to go to these small towns, like mining towns. There's still stuff like that in Colorado, Wyoming, Montana. I want to be in spaces where, you know, if I want to go out and chop wood at night, if I want to sit in front of my wraparound porch on my log cabin and maybe have a bourbon and cigar with my girl and my big American bulldog there, or go out in the back and lift anvils and shit like that. See, that's how I look at life and manhood. If you have to protect and do things, you know how to do it. You prepare yourself. But otherwise, I want to go out and just do things. I want to go out and lift things. I want to go out and create things. You know, to me, the physical end of everything drives the mental end. Once both of those two pieces are pretty sound, there's really, I don't see how you get beat unless someone's just better than you that day, or you beat yourself. And usually it's us beating ourselves.
Right.
It's nobody else. But, you know, think about this. I mean, you know, we were talking one night. I was saying to my brother-in-law, wouldn't it be great if I had a place like that in one of these places? And, you know, there's me and you out in the back, you know, chopping wood or pounding shit with a sledgehammer or lifting anvils or having a little foundry in the back and just heating steel and beating it to death until your forearms explode. That's kind of like what I'm living. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to live. You know, I want to be social with people, but I also believe fences are good neighbors.
Yes,
you know, right. And I'm not talking literally putting a fence up. I'm talking we're far enough away where I can wave to you, but you can't walk, you know, 10 steps and you're on my front door, all right? So, to me, that's how I want to live life, and I don't like seeing the manhood just beating the shit out of everybody. I mean, you know, I meet so many people, Doc, and it's like, Jesus, man, you know, you look tired, you look drawn, you don't have any muscle, you know, you're a 35-year-old guy. Well, how you doing? I'm tired all the time. You know, they're talking to you, and they're trying not to yawn 100 times in your face, and I'm like, man, oh, man, I just don't identify with any of this stuff. You know, it's like, I want to go out and lift the crudest stuff I can tonight. I want something to piss me off good, and I want to go in the house feeling like I've done something, and, you know, sleep a good night and get up tomorrow because I got to film at 6 a.m. for the new products and I got a big wedding to go to tomorrow night at 5 and, you know, just live life, man. And if you don't have your manhood and you don't have that good flow of testosterone and that good sleeping and that good mental relationship with yourself, because if you don't have that, you can't have it with other people, what the hell is the point? I mean, what, to go to a bar every weekend and watch a bunch of fucking yo-yos play sports and wish I could do it? That's just not my – none of that stuff anymore registers with me.
To watch a bunch of guys who are so locked into childhood that they're still playing with little round bouncy things. And then you have other grown men who are so locked into childhood that they're watching other grown men playing with little round bouncy things. This shows me that no one or hardly anyone, hardly any men in the modern world have been initiated into manhood. You know, you won't find very many combat vets sitting around watching frickin' football or basketball or baseball. You won't watch very many guys who've had to squeeze a trigger or who've had to defend their families or who've had to do whatever, watching or being entertained by team sports. They are all individual sportsmen. I can't think of a single real hardcore combat Marine who wasn't a lifter, who wasn't a climber, I'm getting tongue-tied here. They just go off and climb a mountain for fun.
Yeah.
Jump out of airplanes for fun. You know, go out and lift things and run around with them. Like the old crew at the York Barbell Club used to do. They put a barbell up across their shoulders, pad it up a little bit, and go out on a cross-country hike.
Yeah, go walk in. Well, you know, that's what I said. The first time I touched a barbell, those sand weights, you know, and I played organized sports, team sports. I was a good athlete with them. But when I touched that barbell, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I like the individuality of it. I don't mind training with people when we do. But it works better with my DNA and my personality. I don't need to have anybody going, rah, 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 you can do it. You know, it's great if people want to push you. Don't get me wrong with that, and they really care about you. But I think the whole essence of life is being able to go out and do something on your own without anybody following you around, anybody slapping you on the ass, telling you how good you are. I don't need somebody to see me fall down, et cetera, et cetera. And I think when you can capture that in your life, I think you're a hell of a success, and I think you can be anything you want to be at that point. But it's like when we talked on the show probably about a month and a half ago about, you know, innate intelligence and how you need to learn to be alone, you need to train alone, you need to do things alone, because when it comes down to when you go into competition or anything that is something big you got to go after, I don't care who's around you, technically you're always alone.
Right. If you need a whole team to motivate you, if you need a cheerleading section to motivate you, you're not a real athlete, and you're definitely not a real fighter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't have that fighting spirit, that fighting edge. Just about every combat guy I've met, they may be great in fire teams, but they're all lone wolves.
Yep.
They have this lone wolf mentality. They could do it as a team. They could do it on their own. Team is better because you get more done faster, but they also get in the way, so who the hell, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's a great feeling. I mean, I can't tell you the feeling you get emotionally, internally, physically, when you go out and the odds are against you, you know, whether it could be zero out here and you got a lug of stone out and there's light snow going, and you got your ass is against the wall. Now, you can make a choice. All right, you make an excuse. I'm not going to train tonight. It's too cold. All right, stay in. Secondly, you can go out there and say, Jesus, man, you know, the ground's a little slippery. I better find my cleats. I got to get those on. Oh, Christ, this stone is friggin' cold. It's sticking to my skin. What's exposed? What do I do here? Do I turn heat on? Well, let me tell you something. To me, that's all low testosterone.
Yeah.
When a guy's, you know, look, you always got to make decisions and you got to go with the pros and cons with everything. I still do it. But when you're making excuses, all right, for something that's important you got to do, and this goes on in a consecutive manner, I blame that on low T. I blame that on your manliness is shredding, you know, and you better do something about it, because what's going to end up happening, you're going to end up turning into this 40-year-old with a big gut, losing his hair, you know, that thing where, oh, I don't know what to do. Well, what do you mean you don't know what to do? Or your girlfriend or your wife, basically, they're your new drill sergeant. You do what you're told, or you can get the fuck out, you know?
Yes, dear.
Exactly. And that's not how it works, man. You know, you're married. Partnership is a partnership. You know, we got to all give and take. That's fine. But when your wife respects you, she's never going to treat you like you're some type of pussy either, you know? She's going to know, if I cross that line, he's going to snap right back at me, and we're going to have something going on.
Most women badger and berate their husbands is because they've lost their respect for them as men.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know something? I've seen many guys that were kind of mellow, and finally they pushed the wrong button, and they come back at them like a lion, and guess what? Things change for the better.
Oh, gosh. More blowjobs. Absolutely. When a woman loses her respect for you, sex is gone. She doesn't want to have sex with a wimp.
No, not at all. Well, according to what we hear and read, though, they want sensitivity. That's a load of shit. You know something? That's what cracks me up about all this manhood shit. It's like this. You know, you can still be a sensitive man, love your wife, love your kids, love your girlfriend, right? But that's all part, to me, of being a man. It's when you don't know how to act, when you can't make a decision, when you don't show confidence, when you don't show you can carry things out, that's when you get trampled on. That's when you're somebody's little bitch.
Exactly.
Okay?
When you help start helping her to pick out her shoes.
Yep. Yeah.
Or sit there for hours while she tries on every dress in the store, you're lost.
You're gone. Yeah, because let's face it, I wouldn't expect my girlfriend to go with me and watch me, you know, get fitted for a suit, because that's not going to happen, number one, because they're going to have to measure everything to make the damn thing, or they're going to have to give me some dead man's fat suit and, you know, pin the thing all in. And I would never put anybody through that, because, number one, you talk about boring, and number two, I'm bored just doing it. So how am I going to want her to sit there? I'd be like, go out and have some fun, you know what I mean? I'll see you in an hour, you know, it's things like that. And it's the little things like that that really add up to what a man is. I mean, a man is a protector. I don't care what anybody says now. I know enough with women now. Women still like doors open for them. Women still like to get dressed up and taken out and being told they look beautiful, they smell nice. They like guys that when they talk to them, they're looking in their eyes and not looking left and right at some broad with a set of 38 double D's, okay? They like a guy to pull the chair out and push it in, you know? They like a guy that talks to them like they are something special. Whatever the two of you do in the privacy of your own home, that's your thing. But what I'm saying is, all the shit they say that is no longer there, that's all load of shit. Because girls do not want, like I always say, guys with streaks in their hair and wear their sister's jeans. They're not into it, man. They're not into it.
Or their mother's jeans.
Yeah. And the ones that are, what do I want to have anything to do with? They wouldn't be attracted to me anyways, because they would first thing say, oh, you're a bully. You know, look at the size of you. You look at what you do, and you lift all these things. You're a bully, or you're insecure, or you're this and that. I've had so much of that shit said to me, I laugh at them. I said, you couldn't touch me on one broken leg, man. You know what I mean? It's like, go live your life, and when you can't find anybody at 40, then you can start buying tons of shoes.
Yep.
That's the gig, so, you know. We're getting near the NAs. How do you want to sum up manhood? And I'll give a little, and then give your information. I'll give you mine, and if you'd hang on the line, I'd appreciate it.
All righty,
please.
You know, all this political correctness stuff, all the feminism we've had since the 60s or the 70s, all of the efforts to make man more pliable and malleable and susceptible to central control are coming to a head now. The real men are standing up and being real men. The real women are standing up and being real women. And all the progressives are going to get swept up into the FEMA camps and swept away by the Muslims and swept into this and swept into that. And at the end of it, you'll have only the Texans standing. You'll have only the men standing. You'll have only the real women standing.
All the little low-T men will be gone.
All the super high estrogen women will be gone, too.
Yep.
And it's time to, you know, find your pair. It's time to stand your ground. And it's time to get rid of the things in our life, like the soy, like the flax, like the other stuff that we've been told to believe is good for us, but that are actually killing our manhood. Put all that aside and figure out which side of the sand line we're going to stand on, whether we're going to be a victim or a victor. If you want to be a victim, what the hell are you doing listening to this show for?
Exactly.
If you want to be a victor, keep on listening and make your balls bigger.
That's right. We march with big balls, right? We don't want any of that shit. No, I'll tell you this, I'll leave with this, and we'll go right back to Dr. Wong, is this. You know what we stand for here. You know our take on manliness, and you know how we believe in being gentlemen, and we believe in, you know, we like our women strong. We like women, man, that, you know, they look good, they smell good, they want to be with you, they want somebody as a protector. But I always say to any of them, too, I want you to watch my back, too. I get that from them. So that's what I want in a woman. And, you know, it's like Russell Fur says here, when I listen to your shows, it sounds like there's testosterone dripping through my speakers, man.
Good.
That's what it's about, exactly, man. And it's like, we want everybody to jump on board here. We want you to be part of us. It's like, we have a belief, and we think that this is a belief that needs to be taught and keep reinforced. And I want to see little boys be able to take care, and girls, too. I got four nieces, man, that are 13 down 8. I don't want anybody screwing with them. I want them to be tough enough. If some asshole screws with them, they know enough to pop him right in the nose and break his fucking nose, man. And that goes for the girls, too. I don't like seeing kids getting bullied. We don't like any of that shit here, and we want to tell everybody, man, that's what we're about. We want to spread the word that, you know what, no victims. Stand up for yourself, make your mark in life, and anybody that messes with you along the way, we want you to know how to handle it, whether you can handle it peacefully or if you have to go in a physical mode, then you have to do it. You have to be able to take care of yourself, and especially men, practice manhood and pass it down to your son. And you know, when your daughters, you know, I've got the girls, we're over there, their uncles are all strong. I want them to see that in us, that we're still gentlemen that love the women and treat them well. But they also know that this is the kind of men I'm going to look for when I get older. And they don't get mixed up with these assholes that beat the shit out of them or kill them or treat them like crap the rest of their life. Because I would never put up with it. If I ever found that out, there'd be big trouble. So I'll leave it with that. Doc, if you got anything else to add, if not, you know, give out your website, anything that's going on. I'll give you mine, and just hang on if you would, please.
Sure. My website is drwong.us. That's where most of our articles are. Most of my podcasts and lectures are at drwongradio.com, and our product site is drwongsessentials.com.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, let me, I've been giving out the wrong one.
The other one still works.
Oh, it does? Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
The doctor.com still works.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials. That's docspreferred.com, because that's I remember that so much.
That's mine.
Yeah, go out there. Obviously, you know, Dr. Wong's on here every month, and he's been so generous with me for Iceland, helping me out with this injury, and I really appreciate that. Sorenex.com, another one that sponsored me with the trap bar. Sorenex.com, or call him at 803-978-2253, extension 111. Bert will be on here, I think, next Thursday. I got him coming on, and that's always a good show. ArtsCollision.com. And don't forget, too, about 8xclub.com. Call Donnie. Tell him we sent you. You'll love these Indian clubs or whatever he calls them. He sent me one. It's incredible. I've been using that to keep the shoulders real loose. Also, too, the top 10 ways to build muscle. What am I thinking here, man? I've got so many. Top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's a free ebook. Just download that. 10 paragraphs. Think, commit. Take action. I mean, just go after it. That's it. The simplest things can bring you to the biggest places, I'm telling you right now, and we're going to get into more and more of this. Strength times power equals success, the winner's circle. That's out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Once again, the two biggest projects I've done to date. Everything will be fully launched by the middle of November, but you can go out and order these products now. You're going to see some magnificent stuff, too, with all the funnels and there's going to be some stuff. We're going to be using the branding with music to introduce everything. So Chris has got a full docket for the next 3.5 weeks. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Take a look at them. Change your life for the better. I mean, we don't put out any bullshit. Anything there is stuff I've done. Everybody here is authentic, as we say. Be a part of it. Don't forget, too, about sponsorship at FiorellaBarbellCo.com and MotivationAndMuscle.com. Remember, $500 a month, man, you get an awful lot, and this show is growing like you wouldn't believe. We're going to be around for 25 years, and I promise you we're going to be over a million strong of listeners. And remember, $30 goes to MDA. You can save a kid's life. I think that's real important. So go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com and MotivationAndMuscle.com. Chris Bigelow does everything, 800-687-1609. He's also on the homepage of Fiorella Barbell Company. You can click Monster Development and get right out to him, too, if you want. Tell him that we sent you. Here's the other stuff. FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com, or on iTunes and Stitcher. Write us a 5-star review on iTunes. That's what we've gotten. I thank everybody for that. Remember, we're going to be over a million strong. We're going to keep rolling. This is like the Italian tank. As Mick said to Rocky in Rocky 1 or Rocky 2, you know, go out there and get them. Be an Italian tank. Well, that's how I am here. So go out and check that out. Also, too, we're on Facebook at Fiorella Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. We're on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. And if there's anything you would like Dr. Wong and I to do, Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Suggest whatever you want. We can come up with it. I'll leave you with these things. Tonight, especially, you know, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, don't be afraid to help them out. It's very important. Words can do more than you'll ever know, and it's vital. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Tonight, I'm going to be out doing this. Go out and bend up some iron, lift some big hunks, and take stones and turn them into dust. And, obviously, the fourth thing, be like our new stone, the Crusher. Domination, blood red on both sides. We are domination, and we are over a million strong. And remember this, nobody is ever going to clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, he hears testosterone, he swears he sees it dripping out of his speakers. I love it. Dr. Wong, thanks for being on another super show, sir.
Thank you for having me on board, Eric.
Anytime. I love it. For Dr. Wong, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to us. We will talk to you next month. Dr. Wong will be on like in the middle of December, and we'll have another smoking show for you. So have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.